Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 31st of January, recording at 9:28 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, let's have a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets bounced back a bit, closing with moderate gains. Now, one exception, Australia was down 0.25%. The bounce back included the China indices, and Taiwan had a strong second consecutive strong day. In Europe, early gains on the back of China and on the back of Asia faded somewhat, with Spanish IBEX and the Swiss SMI closing down with tiny, tiny losses. Most of the other indices, though, showed modest to moderate gains in Europe. And one of the reasons for the easing that we saw in Europe this afternoon was that Wall Street came in a bit weaker following some pre-market firmness, or it soon declined after the opening. But then Wall Street clawed back towards the latter part of the day, and it closed mixed, virtually unchanged. Actually, although the Nasdaq once again was to the plus side, Brazil had a gain of nearly 0.5%, as did Mexico. Long-dated government bond prices firmed. That U.S. Treasury 30-year bond is up to 145.14. Somebody is certainly buying that, possibly in addition to Mr. Bernanke. And all the government bond prices are a little firmer. The are the ones I can see on my screen. The U.S. dollar is a little firmer. And we had a turnaround here in the euro today. The euro had run up to 132.14 at its high this morning, but then dropped back to 130.42. And that is currently trading at 130.79. That's down 65 cents on the day. What else? Gold shrugged off some earlier losses. It's lost at 1739. Platinum, however, was weaker in line with, it's a precious metal, but it was weaker in line with industrial metals, all of which fell except for tin. Silver was a little lower here today as well, 3316. And I think that's the... Oh, crude oil. This is interesting. I'm not quite sure what happened. I haven't seen a specific news item, but crude oil surged at one point during the day and then gave up those gains. We have the Brent at about 111, but it was $3 higher at one stage. And the WTI is currently at 98.40, and it had been 101.29. So it's good to see that come off overall. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, in terms of stock markets, it's been just a terrific January. Really, in searching for comparisons, stark comparisons, well, of course, it depends what index you're actually looking at. But for the S&P, I saw one comment that you've got to go back to 1997 to see a January as strong as this one. And most stock markets churned out some pretty solid gains. Which had the best? Well, from its January low, I think almost certainly. And you'll never guess. Well, maybe you will, being very alert and scanners of the markets. But Greece. Greece hit a reaction low in early January, and then is pushed significantly higher. Now, I suspect that's short covering. And there would have been plenty of shorts in that market, I assume. But it does show that the market is perhaps a bit more relaxed this time around regarding the additional haircut that is absolutely guaranteed. I think a eventual haircut for the Portuguese bonds is also very much on the cards, but those are containable problems, especially when the ECB is in its current quantitative easing by stealth mode. But you get back to stock markets here for a moment. They, after such a brilliant performance, and it's more than January, it goes right back to the middle of December, they're overbought in the short term, as I was saying yesterday, and they're due for some sort of reaction and consolidation. That seems pretty apparent. The question is, will there be sufficient demand dominance as a consequence of all that bearish sentiment towards year end? Will there be sufficient demand dominance due to all that money on the sidelines, which needs to chase a bit of performance, that we only get a little pause, just a sort of a hover, forming a little step that you might not even see on the weekly charts, but would see on the daily charts, before these rallies continue? Well, that's possible. The other possibility is that we get a bigger reaction in this sort of harking back to the volatile gyrations that we saw throughout most of last year. So it could be either of those, but when I look at the chart patterns, I'm more reassured overall because of all the support building that has taken place. And what you really see from October onwards are a number of small bases, which really look quite attractive in terms of their ability now to cushion downside risk and to support higher levels in coming months. So to sum it all up, I say that the stock markets here are overbought in the short term and therefore due to some sort of reaction and consolidation, but I don't think we'll break the progression of higher reaction lows. And the medium-term outlook remains quite attractive, more attractive than most people perhaps dare to hope. How can that possibly be? Well, because the Euro world has not ended, because Wall Street, although growth is likely to moderate somewhat, corporate profits aren't doing at all that badly. And the big engine, the Asian engine, as monetary easing replaces the recent tightening, or some of it, I don't think they'll go all the way back to their pre-tightening levels on interest rates, but we certainly will get a gradually more accommodative monetary policy, including for India, where their inflation has dropped back, or their food price inflation at any rate. And having been at sort of 9-10%, it's down to 7 and something. So these are encouraging signs here overall. And then, of course, you've got this massive amount of liquidity sloshing around in the system. Well, some of that's going to go into stock markets. Now, the ECB balance sheet and the Fed's balance sheet and the Bank of England's balance sheet, well, these are absolutely exploding. Now, that's created a bit of a tailwind here for stock markets since Q4 2008 lows. How it will all play out in a few years or many years' time will be interesting to see, to put it mildly. But let's enjoy what we've got here right now. And as I say, this is behaving very much like a cyclical bull market. And we've also had the South American markets come on quite strongly, led by Brazil. And that's very impressive. And that suggests to me that you don't want to be too bearish about China's growth, and because they export so many industrial commodities, mostly metals, to Asia and other parts of the world. We don't want to be too cautious about global GDP growth because consider this, that the US economy not doing too badly. Some people are fairly upbeat on it, but it's on steroids, isn't it? With this massive quantitative easing, these artificially low interest rates. Ditto the UK, which is barely above the recession level, sort of flatlining here, and Europe, which is mostly in recession. But yet, the growth engine, Asian-led growth engine, all it saw was a growth slowdown while monetary policy was tightening for most of last year in a deliberate effort to slow growth and inflationary pressures in the process. So, if that tightening bias, which would have been death for the Western markets, as that tightening bias gives way to more accommodative monetary policies, we can expect markets to respond favorably, and we can expect economies to respond favorably. Not a bad outlook. The QE and evidently some carry-on nervousness here is certainly keeping these bond yields low for the countries that are in a position to fund their own debt by printing money. And that's the US and the UK. Germany's benefiting as the strong man of the Eurozone. And with all that, say, all that QE buying, I mean, the bond yields can stay low for a while longer. And that's f a favorable background for equities, provided people don't view it as a Japan-type situation. Some do and some don't is the answer on that. Personally, I don't, as far as the USA and the UK are concerned. Europe, well, we'll just have to see. Now, in terms of currencies, I would have thought that the euro should move a little lower after its short covering rally. I don't look for any big drama there. No one's done a terrific currency review of, or at least the Asian currencies here, mostly against the greenback. And they have been the stars of January. They have really improved a lot. So what does that tell us? In a nutshell, that all those people that were pulling money out of Asia, repatriating capital, that a lot of that money has pushed back in, I suspect led by institutional funds. And that's a positive sign here overall. So whereas last year we had the nasty double bite of Asian stock markets underperforming and their currencies also underperforming, this year in January, and I will boldly predict that we'll see this throughout most of the year and beyond, we'll have Asia currencies, Asian stock markets rather, often leading to the upside, and Asian currencies doing the same. So, in other words, those fuller money themes are back in form, it seems, and long may it last. Even India, which, as you'll see in Deepak Lalwani's India report, was the best performing Asian market this month. So, good January. Expect some reaction and consolidation, but the medium-term trend is higher. Industrial metals, they look to have established important bottoms in the last few months, and they're cheap here overall. So commodity inflation has not reared its ugly head again. We have seen a number of commodities appreciate in January, but they're not racing away. What about gold? Well, it's a good story. Fundamentally, with all this money being printed, gold's not cheap at these levels, relative, obviously, to its extreme depths of a decade or more ago. But the money printing gives it a good fundamental story, and with interest rates low indefinitely, there's no interest rate problem. I've always said that I thought that it would be higher short-term interest rates and long-term interest rates that would eventually kill off the gold secular bull market. Given the rally that we've seen from the December lows, we have to assume, or I assume, that gold has seen its reaction lows. Silver as well, for that medium-term correction phase, which began in April for silver and began in August for and September for gold. So I think we've seen the reaction lows for that, as I've been saying, for a couple of weeks or so now. Will we get a pullback to establish a higher reaction low? Yes, and since gold has been moving more often than not as a risk-on, risk-off type of investment, that might well coincide with a stock market correction. That's the way it's been performing here recently, and I don't think it needs to be performing as a safe haven in this environment because, as a result of January, people are less concerned about safe havens. In other words, sentiment has improved somewhat. Don't want to run on too long, so I'll draw to a close here. All the best to all of you.